Nuclear warhead approaching.
All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 504 for Thursday, January the 19th, 2001. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and doing shows that have been described as sassy. Tell you what, Swab was batting 1,000. He gave me the opening joke and the dojo for today, so...
Yeah, but he was using AI to get it all.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what we were saying about ChatGPT. It's not ChatGPT that's going to take your job. It's somebody who knows how to use ChatGPT that's going to take like 20 people's jobs. So, we have an Are You. What is up, Are You?
Not much, man. I do know one thing. There won't be a World Economic Forum next year that we know of.
Oh, going to start holding them in secret again.
Dude, they look retarded. This year has been so fucking retarded. They refer to themselves as extraterrestrials. It's been an absolute riot.
Well, didn't Al Gore get up on stage and like give a rant that could have been given by somebody? Oh yeah, the end is near sign. And
yes, it was hilarious. The only thing, he had pants on. If he had pants off, it would have been great. and the other standouts are. Definitely the hackable human conversation, because that was everybody on that panel deserves to be executed for human rights crimes. And the Brian Stelter Truth in News conversation, where pretty much Brian Stelter and that group have decided that we just don't live in reality. They do. Yeah, because he was challenged with the old, well, you were the one pretty much saying Russian disinformation, the laptops are hoaxes. Well, no. See, you're just not living in the right reality. That's what he was told to the guy who asked the question. And then he said, I'll come down and have a talk to you after this talk. In other words, shut the fuck up. But no, they look like jokes. You got most of the what do they call it? The... not mainstream media, but the dudes trying to do their own stuff were harassing them constantly in Davos. I don't think they'll be holding it openly anymore because they just looked absolutely hilarious. That's just my take anyway. I watched it, so you didn't have to.
I appreciate that because I had no interest in it. And we have a madman.
I've been watching it now. I was just thinking they need to rework the casting. When everyone sounds like a Bond villain and they're not supposed to be Bond villains.
Well, I was thinking it might be fun to go back through the videos and re-edit the audio to make these people. But I mean, if they're already sounding nuts,
you don't have to.
Yeah.
They already sound like Bond villains.
Yeah, man. Like this one lady was talking about how this is the last generation of fully organic humans. We'll now be, with all the vaccines they're going to give us, we're going to have hackable DNA to where they can change it in real time. You know, it was really interesting shit because they were coming at it from a point of empowering human beings, where I know what these people are like. It's not about empowering human beings. It's about, you know, pulling them down.
It's about control.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy as fuck. Yeah, these people are batshit insane. I mean, batshit insane. They think they are gods. As I said, I don't think they'll be holding it in public anymore, and they definitely won't be broadcasting it, but, big shout out to all the ladies of the night who I heard were getting anywhere between, 2,500 an hour to, 5,000 an hour. So at least someone made some money doing some work.
If they're getting paid that much, I hope they're at least faking the orgasms.
I mean,
that'd be embarrassing to pay that much for a hooker and have him just lay there and be like, oh, yeah,
apparently the Davos ran out of prostitutes and they had to bring a jumbo jet of them in. So,
well, good on them for making a profit out of the situation.
Well, that's what I mean. At least the ladies made a profit. Good for them.
Yeah,
but really, would you want someone like Klaus Schwab crawling all over you?
God, no.
That fucking evil villain voice. Like, fuck, dude, I'll give you 2,500. Hold the white cat, pat this, and read these lines.
And Mr. Schwab, I have a question. Why don't you have a reflection?
Yes.
I'm just curious.
Loads of dust.
Medical mystery.
Yeah, we should take a mirror in there and see what happens.
It would just shatter. There'd be some dude in a very fancy-looking military uniform going, "You're not allowed to bring that in here."
The weird part about it is the people that show up, like there's a U.S. senator showed up to talk about curbing free speech.
Yeah, didn't he say something like that free speech will end in the United States or some bullshit?
Yeah, that was the European Union representative saying that the Americans don't realize that they don't have free speech anymore. We'll make sure of that.
We'll make and sure American, of that. Oh, well.
Yeah, the Americans sitting next to them just sat there and ate it. I think it was Brian Stelter was sitting there. So,
well, that's no surprise there. He doesn't believe in free speech because, you know, remember, his version of the truth is the only version of the truth that's allowed. So.
But, yeah, it was interesting. I don't think these people really understand that the average person hates them just as much as they hate us.
Oh, they live in an entirely artificial reality. It's a controlled existence.
Yeah.
It's a controlled existence. They never see. Well, okay. No, I actually have a really good example from the first meetup, you. When we decided to run up to a grocery store and we went through some of the more rough parts of town in Columbus, and we went in that grocery store and you saw people, you know, who couldn't afford to buy everything they wanted to buy. And you were like, this is the United States. Isn't everyone rich?
Well, I mean,
you didn't
say
it quite like that. And I think you were half teasing us, but I mean.
No, it was actually genuinely devastated the level of poverty I saw.
Yeah.
Because, dude, everything I knew of America was through you guys or from TV. And I never really... I thought ghetto and shit was like, you know, Chicago, West Side, things like that. I didn't think it left those areas. But this was just fucking bumfuck average middle of the ground. And it's like, holy crap. These people are barefoot and fucking, you know, kids are dirty.
Now
what the fuck?
That level of... imagine that level of... I think the correct word is ignorance. I don't mean that in an insult. I just mean
I was completely ignorant.
Okay, imagine that level, but a few ratchets up the societal ladder, and never having been exposed to anything other than these perfect worldviews, you know, academia, lawyers, government, and controlled media narratives. That's all these people experience. And then they wonder why they're loathed. It's because they have no concept of how most people live.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. I mean, the only difference is I didn't wish those poor people a fucking death or anything like that. I was like, Jesus, man. This is terrible.
I think it was Charles. I guess he's now King Charles. He used to be Prince Charles. He called, you know, the middle class and below useless eaters.
Eaters, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
a level of disconnect from reality that's terrifying.
Well, that's what Klaus Schwab's second in command said. He called them useless eaters, and the only thing they deserve is mild entertainment and drugs.
Well,
because they don't do anything else.
Well, think about how to have that mindset. Just how disconnected you have to be. And you have all of these people up there who think that they're the masters of the universe, you know, who don't have fucking clue one about what really happens. This is how you get shit like, oh, well, just buy an electric car if gas is too expensive.
That's how they opened up the meeting. It was about mastering the future.
Yeah.
That was the whole topic of this year's forum was mastering the future.
How many people are not in a position to master their future because they're too busy trying to cling on to what they have right now?
I've got my hand up.
I mean, I'm doing fairly well, and I'm not, you know, I'm looking at how much money I make today, and if I had been making that money even 10 years ago, the difference it would be compared to what it is today. And it's just like, it's like, fuck, for what I'm making, I should be doing better. I mean, yeah, I'm getting ready to do some stuff. And I mean, I'm not in bad shape. Don't misunderstand me at all. I'm not complaining about my situation. But, you know, if you had told, if I could go back in time and tell my younger self what I was making, they would think I'd be living very differently than I am.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm doing worse today. That's just because of inflation.
I absolutely believe that. I mean, you know, if you're, I know what my situation is, and I'm thinking, and I'm doing well. What about somebody who's not? How the hell is anybody who's not getting anywhere today?
Yeah, I've not a clue, man. I know people are really struggling, but I mean, I don't want for anything, but then again, I'm not buying anything either because interest rates, inflation, and I want to pay the house off as fast as I can.
No, I understand. I mean,
we bought our first piece of furniture in 15 years last week.
Yeah, see, I don't intend that as a slam on anybody. I'm not trying to insult anybody.
No,
I'm just saying,
either one.
I'm trying to explain from my point of view. I'm looking at how I'm doing and then going, man, I know that I make a lot more money than most people. And I'm looking at, like, I don't know how most people are making it at all.
They're not.
Well, that's
maxing out credit cards and shit.
I mean, my grocery bills doubled in this last year. And,
yeah,
I mean, can I afford it? Yeah. But I know a lot of people who were already on the edge a year ago. Now their food bills doubled. Shit, you know? I mean.
Well, I was doing it like this for a while to try and save some money. So a fortnight, I'd eat reasonably, you know, mildly, like, we put just enough calories in to make it through the week sort of thing. And then the next fortnight, I'd buy a steak, buy a bit of that, you know, like eat well. And then go back to the budget diet and then eat well. You know, it was working. Now I'm just budget diet 24/7.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's
rough out there, man. I get it.
And then you get these World Economic Forum jackasses getting there saying, oh, you're living in the wrong reality. It's like, fucker.
Yeah.
Do you think most of the people who are living in that reality wouldn't change theirs if they could? And I know a lot of them are trying to, and they're just stuck.
Yeah.
The bugs.
Yeah, that's the most insulting thing, man. Eat the bugs. Don't drive cars. That was another big one. The meatless society.
You will like it.
Dude, they're trying to get. They were talking about a meatless society, and you just fuck off. Just fuck the fuck right off. There's a video I watched a couple weeks ago. Dude did a breakdown on how many milliliters per oil per calorie it takes for food. It was pretty interesting because growing vegetables actually costs a lot more diesel than it does to farm chickens.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure.
You're better off eating meat than vegetables when it comes to the environment.
Well,
or when it comes to diesel, anyway.
I was having this conversation with a coworker who was going on about, you know, I made some crack about the price of eggs, and she was like, "Well, it's global warming." I'm like, well, are we talking about actual climate science, or are you talking about what they talk about on the news? And she looked at me for a second and goes, what? I'm like, actual climate science, there's some real data, we can talk about it. If you're talking about the popular political on the news, we're all going to die in 10 years, I've got no time for it. And she looked at me like I was an alien.
Yeah.
'Cause she was like, what do you mean it's not the same thing? It's like, you know, she starts quoting some stats at me, and I'm like, well, I think that one might be true. I'm not sure about that one. I've read that one before. And she goes, well, do you believe in climate change? I'm like, I believe there's climate science and that, you know, we have observed an average global temperature rise of about a degree in the last 125 years, 150 years, something. I forget the exact count, like the last 100 years. But are we... Is it because of cow farts and driving cars? No. Does industrial activity have some significant impacts? Probably. Does anything we do in the United States matter if we don't get China and India and Russia to clean up their act? Not really. So what's your point? And she didn't really have an answer for any of that. So
I'll send you a video later where a dude's making that point exactly. But I'll tell you why there's an egg shortage. Because chicken feed, the price is so expensive.
Well, and then they had to destroy a bunch of birds because of flu. But
No, not really. The bird flu didn't really do shit.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I read that somewhere and it stuck in my head.
So. Yeah, no, I've been listening to this shit for the last fortnight on why there's an worldwide egg shortage. It's the lack of grains. It's so expensive for the grain. And some countries...
They outlawed fertilizer?
Well, we're not going to go down that track just yet. But,
well, I mean, we're 15 minutes in. We haven't even hit the first discussion story, but let's keep going. This is fun.
Well, I thought we were padding. That's why I kept this going because it wasn't. It's a slow fucking tick. All right. Just give away the secrets. There's a grain shortage. Like, it's not a shortage, it just costs way too much. And a lot of countries in the last year have outlawed cage farming. Of eggs. So there's reasons for it, and it's man-made. It's got nothing to do with climate change.
Yeah, it's largely
it's
people's
all,
reactions.
It's all legislation.
Yep.
We're legislating all this. We're pretty much legislating our way into a massive famine. You and I won't really have to worry about the famine because it'll mainly be in third world countries. But the way our countries are going right now, it won't be long before we are third world.
And then the joke about owning firearms becomes a lot more serious, doesn't it?
Yeah. This is the problem, Orps. I said through the pandemic, and I said that you can have all the fucking guns in the world, but if there's no mandate from everyone around you, you're just a crazy fucker with a gun walking down the street screaming shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a mandate. Otherwise, you're just a lunatic with a gun. So yeah, have all the guns you want, but unless there's a mandate within the community... You ain't gonna do shit, boy.
Madman, you've been quiet.
Oh, I was just remembering some quotes from the scientists that discovered global warming, and they were exceptionally happy when they discovered it. Does anyone know why?
Because it meant global
funding
cooling
for life.
Wasn't a thing.
Not quite.
Funding for life.
The more carbon dioxide there is in the atmosphere, the fewer vacuoles plants need for respiration, and that's where the majority of their water loss is. So when they discovered the increase in carbon dioxide and the slight increase in warming, they realized that more of our planet would be farmable.
Yeah.
And since they discovered this, an area the size of the United States, including Alaska and Hawaii, like all the landmass of the United States, of previously unfarmable desert, has turned green.
I know the project you're talking about. I can't remember what it's called.
And it has nothing to do with us seeding it. It's just...
No.
It requires so much less water for a plant to live that it can now live in areas where previously you couldn't have wheat, you couldn't have grass, and it's just growing there.
If it takes less water for them to grow, I wonder if, I don't know, a couple hundred years we'll start seeing superflora, giant plants everywhere.
Requires oxygen.
That's a good point.
Large quantities of oxygen.
Oxygen's a waste byproduct for plants.
No, I know, but we'd have to have a whole lot of surface area that's just all plant. Then again, they are going to try and rewild the entire planet once they've killed everybody off.
No, well, there you go. I did say a few hundred years, so I mean, it's possible.
Yeah. You know the worst part about life, Morps?
It ends.
I will never get to see the end of the story. I want to see what happens with all this climate change shit.
Note to self,
I'll be
RU,
dead before we
sign RU for head in jar program. Got it. Okay.
Oh, hell no, man. I don't want to know none of this fucking.
So I
wanted that whole merging of humans computer shit, but it turns out the people in control of that are fucking lunatics.
Okay, so what we're going to do, RU, is we've come up with a way of giving you a form of pseudo immortality. We're going to take every IHN episode and every Pure Decking episode, and we're going to train
TPG
one of these GPT bots on them. Now, you, the meat version, you're going to die someday. Sorry, that's how biology works.
I know.
But we'll have an AI chat based copy of you that will survive as long as the internet's around. So at least another 20 years.
I mean, you spend your entire life reading the compendium of human history and art and fucking literature. And, you know, you got the great story of and then you get to you and it's very mediocre. And you're going, oh, I just want a better story than this. You know, how does it work out in the future? I don't know.
Does anyone know how far into the future Ghost in the Shell is from now?
About 40 years.
According to the movie, 6.
Well, I think Klaus Schwab announced he's going to be running the World Economic Forum into his late 100s. He says he's immortal.
Well, I mean, he could be until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
So let's get somebody out there with a devil may care attitude
fingers crossed for George Soros, right? Come on, I gotta live long enough to see that fucker die.
I just realized what I was about to say, and I'm like, you know, that could be seen as a call to violence. I was gonna make a bad joke, but I don't actually want somebody to go hunt them down and test the immortality theory. It's like that could be misinterpreted. And
okay, I got another video I got to send you later as well. Of it. Okay, you're talking about making shit up. Like this dude on YouTube, he's like, I read a book. And he just starts talking about current day things. He's like, no, it's all in this book that's based in the future. You know, just telling really wild scenarios. It's fantastic. And YouTube can't strike him because he's saying it's from a book.
Well, I mean, there were guys who were live streaming basketball games by sitting in front of the TV and holding a PlayStation controller to trick the algorithm. So, I mean, you know, why not at this point?
Yeah.
We're 20 minutes in. We haven't touched a damn thing. Let's stop padding.
Let's do some story.
Let's do a story. First one up I got is from Futurism, and this is hilarious. JP Morgan says startup tricked it into an acquisition by cooking up millions of fake users. Old AOL era internet tricks of a whole bunch of sock puppet accounts to inflate the value of a company. I mean, we're going to see more this.
Isn't that how they did, was it RTA?
FTX?
Ponzi
no.
scheme? FTX?
FTX. FTX had real people using the exchange, but he commingled funds, allegedly. I guess there hasn't been a trial yet, so we have to say allegedly. He allegedly commingled funds into Alameda Research and then was playing other investment vehicles with it and lost all the money. And I'm sure he thought, oh, well, I'll just do it again, and you know, I'll make all the money back, and I can repay the money I've borrowed from the other accounts. But it's like that's as any accountant who actually knows their shit will tell you, madman. You actually know finance better than I do.
That's illegal.
What does the commingling of funds mean will happen to your nuts in prison?
Well, generally you get to go to a minimum to medium security prison for that. But you still do go to prison. It's called embezzlement. the term we're looking for is embezzlement, Bob.
It's like, oh, right, I forgot to put it in the phrase of a question. What do you call this bullshit?
And I don't believe we have to use allegedly, because I believe he admitted to this in interviews, just saying he was unaware of the legal ramifications.
Yeah, he admitted it. Like, what a fucking retard. Like, his lawyers just must have hung themselves.
Considering, you know, yeah, he made all those political donations, all the people he gave money to are going, well, you got no more money to give me now. What do I care? They're going to let his ass rot in prison.
Well, and unless he's got something that he can dangle over him. Like, maybe he can name names or something. I don't know.
Yeah. But Meanwhile, back at the story. If we actually make it to the story tonight, that'd be the best part. We get like an hour in and realize we didn't touch a single story, which is fine. I mean, I think this is more entertaining, just us chatting anyways. But,
Well, for us, fuck the audience.
He doesn't mean that, Lore. He does actually love you.
Don't worry, Lore. We are the people who live in the computer. And yes, we can see you.
No, no, we're in his car.
Staring at him through the speakers.
What's this wire do? Yep.
It's a red wire with a yellow stripe. That, in fact, does appear to be important. But, yeah, this one's funny because this
part
is
about
like...
it, I can't figure out where that wire goes now. I used to know all those fucking ignition wires.
Are you? Anyway. I will help you out. I made it up.
No, no, there is a red cable with a yellow stripe.
Yeah, I was actually quoting The Abyss. That was where he was trying to figure out what colors it was in a green light.
There we go. Missed the joke.
I didn't expect anyone to get a reference to a movie from the 90s that didn't really do that well. So,
oh, that's a classic, dude.
It is a classic. It's a good movie, but it just popped in my head as we were doing. What's funny is I had several people who were telling me about this in the office, and I'm looking at the story. I'm like, this is 1990s internet-level bullshit. You know, oh, look, my forum has more users than yours. Never mind the fact that most of them were just me bored one afternoon making shit up in the database. Oh, here we go. JP Morgan Chase, one of the most powerful financial institutions on planet Earth, says that it paid $175 million to acquire a fintech startup, only to discover, the Wall Street Journal reports, that the startup had allegedly fabricated the majority of its users, bolstering its value with millions of fake accounts. Per the Wall Street Journal, the startup called Frank, a financial platform for college students looking to apply for federal aid, approached JP Morgan in the summer of 2021, impressed by the roughly 4.25 million users allegedly using the app, not to mention its formidable lineup of well-known VC backers. The bank bit, bringing both the platform and its founder, 30-year-old Charlie Javis, into the fold. Quote, Frank offers a unique opportunity for deeper engagement with students, unquote. Jennifer Pipczak, co-CEO of JP Morgan, said in a September 2021 press release, quote, together we'll be able to expand our capabilities for students and their families, helping them financially prepare for college and other major moments in their future, unquote. Things seemingly went well until sometime last spring, when the bank apparently tried to send an email to Frank's alleged millions of customers. According to JP Morgan, an astonishing 70% of those emails bounced back, leading to an investigation against Javis and the company. Want to bet that started because somebody's email server crashed? It's like they get all these email bounce backs and they're like, what the fuck? The results of that investigation, if true, are wild. The bank is alleging that Frank actually had less than 300,000 real users, which chalks up to less than 10% of the user figure that Javis had sold the site on. In the court filings, JP Morgan provides correspondence between Javis and a professor that she allegedly hired to create the phony accounts. Rest assured, JP Morgan is pissed. As of last month, they're suing Javis and Frank's chief growth officer, Oliver Amar. Quote, to cash in, Javis decided to lie, including lying about Frank's success, Frank's size, and the depth of Frank's market penetration, in order to induce JP Morgan Chase to purchase Frank for $175 million, unquote, reads the bank's suit. Filed late last year in a Delaware court, quote, Javis represented in documents placed in the acquisition data room, in pitch materials, and through verbal presentations that more than 4.25 million students had created Frank accounts, unquote. It's worth noting, Javis actually filed her own lawsuit against the bank in the same week that the bank launched theirs, claimed JP Morgan simply just didn't want to comply with the user privacy laws and is now trying to conceal their own bad behavior. Quote, after JP Morgan rushed to acquire Charlie's rocket ship business, JP Morgan realized they couldn't work around the existing student privacy laws, committed misconduct, and then tried to retrade the deal. Unquote. Javis's lawyer and the guy who was somehow always just there, Alex Spiro, said in a statement to Forbes, quote, Charlie blew the whistle and then sued, unquote. So, Yeah, they're going back and forth on this, but I mean, how many of these 90s internet bullshit tactics are we going to start seeing ended up in court with real businesses attached to them?
All of them if they're misrepresenting their numbers legally.
Well, no, well, so misrepresenting the number of users on a website is nothing new. It's old tactics to make your site look busier than it is. You know, bot accounts, spam accounts, or just the admins who are bored going in with different sock puppet accounts has been a thing since, I mean, bulletin board systems, for God's sake. So I'm just wondering how much of this old internet bullshit we're going to start seeing ending up in court because they've attached, real businesses have actually gotten involved with them now because, the internet used to be this kind of fun thing you did on the computer that didn't affect anything real, and now it's the majority of the economic of activity of the world, or at least the first world. So,
Well,
go ahead.
I'm gonna say a bunch of it because whenever we're just inflating, saying I have a billion users and now I have more users than you, haha, I've got a bigger e-penis. That's different than I'm going to sell you this website with a billion users for $1 million, and the only reason I'm buying it is because I believe there's a billion actual users. It's a very theft by deception.
I don't disagree with that at all, but I'm just kind of gagging at the fact that it's like this is shit we used to do for fun in high school, right? And now it's like serious business.
Yeah. And what's hilarious, I wonder how many, if we could have actually sold anything like that in high school.
Well, probably not, because in high school the internet was a joke, right? We were talking about this earlier that, a lot of the technology stuff's a joke, right up until it isn't. Internet was a, joke that nerds, used right up until suddenly it wasn't. So, and everyone was on it. And
Oh, and then
tons of
Weeble
other things
stuff
like
kind
that.
of went away.
Yeah. But I mean, video games, same thing. It was kind of a joke that only a subset was into right up until everyone was in it. So, and it, you, I'm sure we could sit down and figure out the exact moment the transition went, where it went from subculture to just part of the culture, but
2016.
Gamergate.
2016 was the last time the internet was any.
Was fun.
Yeah.
So,
2011 was peak. 2016 when it died.
yeah, I don't know. What do you think, are you? I mean, I think it's hilarious this whole inflating numbers and now they're into court over it. Now, admittedly, large dollar amounts attached to it, but I'm thinking back when we were in high school, madmen, nobody would have paid money for your website just based on your user account because it's like it's a database. You could make half those people up. Who cares?
Yeah, it was a mailing list.
Yeah.
Also, when we were in high school, the only websites that people even thought would be worth something were attached to a brick and mortar store where you could go buy something.
Yeah.
And it wasn't
Yeah.
the website, it was the store that was the value.
Or MP3.com. That one seemed like a lot of people thought it was going to be something. And it never was, which is the gag of it. But that was one that everybody seemed to think was going to be something back near right around when we were graduating.
If you can digitize it, it's worth nothing. Because you can just make a copy of a copy of a copy. Its value becomes zero.
There's probably more truth in that than any of us would like to admit, are you?
I'm sorry. I didn't want to make people get upset, but it's fucking true. Like, your Steam library is only as good as your electricity system. You know what I mean?
I actually have a very large lithium-ion battery to back everything up, but okay.
The problem with Steam isn't the battery, it's you don't actually have a copy of anything that you own anymore.
Well, that is a real problem because, okay, let's say, just hypothetical, through no fault of Valve's, just a sunspot hits the right spot and Steam is gone. It's just lost. You know, we've done stories on decking about companies where somebody hacks into their AWS account, deletes everything, and it's just gone. They have nothing. They have no result. You know, no way of recovering. Let's say something like that happened with Steam. I don't know how many failures would have to happen and what order for that to happen, but let's say it did.
Morps, you've watched the largest community free project to reinstall Steam would start. That's what would happen.
Well, the issue isn't just reinstall Steam, because they could pull up the protocols. Madman's Steam library is gone. How is Steam going to know what Madman's Steam library was?
Well, they would actually have financial transactions in a ledger somewhere account to show that you bought this stuff, but I mean, good God, going through everything for the last 20 years to assess all of it?
I don't know if they would have ledgers going back that far, because tax purposes, they only need to keep it for 7 years in the state.
And
I've got the last 20 years of bank statements. Easy.
Yeah, only tax records go back 7 years. How many companies do you know hold records longer than the legal mandate? Because holding records is expensive.
I know several that hold it because they don't know how to purge out what's what's older than that and what's not. But that's neither here. That's a different conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will give up on that one and say it happens on some of them. I don't know if Steam is one of those, and I'm kind of doubting it.
What was the PlayStation thing that just went away? Stadia?
Google Stadia went away. And
and PlayStation 1. The servers running the PlayStation 1 games went away, didn't it?
Ubisoft just shut down a whole bunch of their game servers, too.
Oh.
And let's say Nintendo, the original Nintendo. If something happened, I can still play all of those games. I have physical copies of them.
Yeah, the game code is stored in a ROM chip in that cartridge.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to your Steam library, which is mostly, I mean, anything installed on your hard disk, but, you know, okay, anything that's not installed locally, you have a database entry saying you own a copy of this game, likely with a CD key attached to it. And the Steam server is relying on that database to say whether or not you're allowed to download that game, you know, from wherever it's hosted. But, you know, I'm sure they've got a huge CDN backing it. But, you know, if that database goes away for some reason, you know, pick your hypothetical, Sasquatch descends from the mountains and makes off with the Steam servers. I don't know how that would happen, but, you know, this is what disaster recovery is about, is you plan for this, the idea that,
you've had a teleporter accident.
You've had a teleporter accident, now what? You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's it. That's exactly it. So, I don't know. I mean...
But I do believe that's the bigger digital threat.
Teleporter accidents?
No, that we don't actually own copies of things.
That's all stored online. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy. Live via subscription.
Well, you won't be happy, but your children who grow up living that way will be, because they won't know anything different.
Motherfucker, I got books in my house. If they can't read, they will know the difference.
Books aren't allowed. Those are to be collected and burned.
Are we going to do a Fahrenheit 9/11, are we? Yeah, then I'm all with you with the guns there, Morps. Start burning books, man. You can start killing people. I don't care. You start burning books, you got me.
Okay. Next one.
What's the next story?
Next story is from techspot.com. Let's see here. The EU votes to address loot boxes, gold farming, and gaming addiction. As per gamesindustry.biz, the European Parliament voted to adopt a report that, quote, highlights the positives of this pioneering industry, but also the social risks we need to bear in mind, like the impact of gaming on mental health, unquote, said MEP Andaria Maladomo Lopez, who led the report. I'm sure I said your name wrong. And I'm kind of sorry about that, and also just going to blame the American education system. One of these risks is loot boxes, which has long been a controversial area. The EU Commission will analyze the impact of loot boxes and prompts to make in-game purchases, taking action if necessary. A Norwegian consumer watchdog report last year concluded that loot box mechanics in games industries are predatory and exploit consumers. The report prompted consumer watchdogs in 18 other countries to call for stricter regulations of games featuring loot boxes. Everyone remember Ubisoft saying that a loot box isn't gambling; it's a surprise mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was EA who said that.
That's up there with the moving with the speed of science statement.
It kind of is.
It's a surprise mechanic. You just have to give us money for it.
The EU Commission will investigate whether gold farming can be linked to financial crimes and human rights abuses. Oh, that was...
I could see it being linked to money laundering.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just remembering, Madman, where you and I were going around in WoW pretending to be gold farmers, and when people would say something to us, we'd say, oh no, boss going to whip us again if we don't get 20 more nodes, or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. I have to earn my bowl of rice. I want pork fried today. Pork fried. Need 4 more notes. Oh.
You're the reason they want real ID, Madman. You know that.
Like you said, the internet was more fun back in those days. The report also calls for the adoption of regulatory measures on games that allow players to create their own content to protect users. I've read this wrong. Regulatory measures on games that allow players to create their own content, there should be a comma there, to protect users, especially minors, from illegal practices. So in other words, how do you prevent the little kid from logging into Second Life and seeing the field of dog penises that Big left everywhere?
Don't send him to preschool.
For fuck's sake.
Have you seen the shit they're putting into child libraries these days?
Zone in Second Life where the penises were left.
It was mostly cleaned up eventually. But that's just the best example I have of something inappropriate in a video game with user-created content. I mean, I'm sure if you go to the right parts of VR chat, you're going to see some things you really wish you didn't. But I just remember... I don't remember... What was it he had done? He had found a bunch of plots around one of the areas that just had permissions on objects and just flooded it with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, do all sorts of stupid shit, man. When permissions allowed, and people didn't know what they were doing, it's great.
Nuclear warhead approaching.
We all wish it was.
Well, don't wish too hard, whoops.
Yeah, where was I? The EU Commission will investigate whether gold farming can be linked to financial crimes and human rights abuses. The report also calls for the adoption of regulatory measures on games that allow players to create their own content to protect users, especially minors, from illegal practices. Moreover, actually, in this case, they're probably targeting Roblox with that, because there's, you know, if you look into Roblox, that is horrifying. Moreover, it wants to end illegal practices allowing anyone to exchange, sell, or bet on in-game or third-party sites or skin betting. Wait, people are betting on...
what skins they get? I can see that. You bet on anything.
Huh. That's just... I mean, that's interesting, but I mean, it's like, you know, watching a live streamer roll loot boxes doesn't seem like the best way to gamble. I mean, I would think horse racing or, you know, bingo or something else more traditional would be more fun. Much of the report focuses on the pan-European game information age rating system, essentially the EU version of the ESRB rating system. The MEPs want it to become the mandatory age rating system for all games in the single market. It also wants to introduce the standard labels for information such as the game's theme, in-game purchasing options, and the presence of pop-up advertising. Actually, I agree with them on that. It should be on the label or the store page or whatever if a game requires purchases to play, has microtransactions, and it has ads in it. I think that's a good practice, actually.
Well, Steam's pretty good with that.
Steam is good for that. Actually, the Apple App Store is pretty good about showing you that, too. I haven't done anything with the Android store lately, so I don't know if Android's gotten better about that. It used to not really show you if, like, you know, in-app purchases were a thing in apps. Because I can tell you back when I was using a Samsung phone, the number of things you would download to try out, and, you know, it's a free app. And then you go open it up, and it's like, to use this app, please sign up for our $10 a month subscription. Fuck you! You know.
Oh, and they're just listing it as free because it's not being charged in the app.
In the App Store, yeah. You have to do their subscription service. Of course, since Apple put subscriptions directly into the App Store now, half the damn free apps want you to do a, you know, $3 or $5 a month subscription to use a text editor. Fuck off! Yeah. I have a personal mission of refusing the subscription apps because, good God, I don't like that model of having to pay a monthly fee to use a fucking piece of software. I mean, if you want to charge for your software, cool. If it's good enough, I'll buy the one-time fee. But I'm not going to pay $10 a month to access it. You know, I refuse to use Sharper 3D on my iPad to this day, despite the amount of 3D printing I do, because I'm not paying $30 a month for a CAD package on the iPad. I'm sorry. I just won't use the iPad for that. I'll use a computer. Sorry.
Oh, nothing to apologize for. I've complained. I think we should own more shit. There's too many subscription models. And I think that's going to fuel the next wave of piracy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't hardly blame. You know, I mean, some of these get so fucking egregious with all the little subscriptions. I mean, video streaming is the same way, right? It's like people are starting to go back to pirating video and using the streaming and using the pirate sites. Oh. Because if you want to watch all the shows, you got to subscribe to 40 fucking streaming services these days.
Well, Netflix is clamping down on the password sharing next month, apparently.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, as if they didn't hemorrhage enough people when they announced it. See how they go. I'd say their earnings for next year are going to be down. Well, this year, sorry.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, like HBO, you know, they have one good show and one really shitty show, and they put them both out at the same time so that hopefully people don't cancel so they can keep watching the... Because I've heard The Last of Us is actually pretty good. I never played the game, so I had no interest in the show.
Oh, dude, I've no interest in the show because I played the first game. The game was absolutely amazing. It's one of the games you should play in your lifetime.
Oh, okay.
On the PlayStation. Never, ever have I been emotionally invested in a video game before.
And then they wokeified the sequel.
Yeah, like, dude, that I had to finish it. And the ending killed me, man. Like, that game is brutal on your feelings. But, yeah, it's a really good game.
Okay, no,
great,
fair enough.
Story. And, dude, a lot of the game is stealth, and that'll tell you how much I was into the story. But I hate stealth.
Yeah, I never played it, so I mean...
Yeah.
But apparently, a lot of people saying the show is good, but they put that out at the same time as that Velma show, right?
Oh, I
watched about 10 minutes of that and turned it off. It's like, I can't even hate watch this. It's terrible. It's just bad. I mean, it's like, it's not funny, it's obnoxious. And it's like you can't even like it's you could hate watch the He-Man show because it was at least mildly entertaining despite all the woke crap in it. But this you can't even hate watch it. It's just like this is dumb, and you just turn it off. You know?
Wow, that says a lot for it.
I mean, we all threw the He-Man show on one of the group watch things and had fun with it. You know, made fun of it and shit. We couldn't even do that with this. I guarantee it. If we tried it, we'd all just turn it off. It's like, this is dumb.
Yeah, dude, I noped out of the He-Man. I couldn't watch it.
It's not good, but you could make fun of it.
Well, I look at it this way. I look at it as a demoralization. It's destroying your childhood, making you feel like shit.
I just think they got the wrong person to voice Skeletor. You know, Mark Hamill as the Joker is great. As Skeletor, he was playing the Joker. It's just like, It's like, you got to get somebody who's high-pitched and kind of nasally and can, you know, cackle. So. But. Anyways, what are we at? 9:48. What's the recording at? 50 minutes. We'll try to do this one. We'll see. This is from ArsTechnica.com. Artists file class action lawsuit against AI image generator companies. I mean, you can already guess where this article is going, right?
Yep.
Some artists have begun waging a legal fight against the alleged theft of billions of copyrighted images used to train AI art generators to reproduce unique styles without compensating artists or asking for consent. This is the thing. You've trained a computer to replicate somebody's style of art, but you can't point to it and say, see, look, this is an exact copy of this piece of art, right?
Yeah.
I didn't think style was copyrightable.
You know, this court case is going to figure out, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not enough of a... I guess you could claim that, you know, this is a distinct style, like people talk about Pixar look and stuff like that, but...
They can't win because it doesn't work because music.
Yeah.
So, the Ramones. I love the Ramones. They got a really unique style and sound. And then I found a band called the Forgotten Rebels, which sounds exactly like the fucking Ramones. Or did the Ramones sound exactly like the Forgotten Rebels? You can't tell, man. They're so similar in their style. But both... individual bands that have great songs both sides, but they're very similar in sound. So, no, I don't think you can.
Go over general sound. It would be on a by-piece basis. They'd have to pull up an individual piece of whatever AI-generated art.
Yeah.
And just see, did they take the Mona Lisa and change the eye color?
That's
actually old enough to be public domain, I know. Yeah.
But that's still not enough to be transformative. It needs to be what, 10%?
Oh, I don't know the exact rules on that.
But yeah, you can't own a style. That's horseshit, because then there'd only be one manga book. You know what I mean? Because of the art style. They can't win. It's bullshit.
You apparently haven't read manga. There's several different art styles in manga and anime.
I know, Madman, but for the sake of the argument, a lot of the styles are exactly the fucking same. And it's same with DC and Marvel. They're exactly the same looking dudes. You know, and they're not the same characters, but you can just change the colors around on a few of them and, you know, the name change and you got a different guy. Yeah, I don't think you can win on style. Well, you can't copyright style.
Let's see what the article says here. A group of artists represented by the Joseph Severt Law Firm has filed a U.S. federal class action lawsuit in San Francisco against AI art companies Stability AI, Midjourney, and DeviantArt for alleged violations of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, violations of the right of publicity, and unlawful competition. The artists taking action, Sarah Anderson, Kelly McKinnon, and Carla Ortiz, quote, seek to end this blatant and enormous infringement of their rights before their professions are eliminated by a computer program powered entirely by their hard work, unquote, according to the official text of the complaint filed to the court. Using tools like Stability AI's Stable Diffusion, Midjourney, or the DreamUp generator on DeviantArt, people can type phrases to create artwork similar to living artists. Since the mainstream emergence of AI image synthesis in the last year, AI-generated artwork has been highly controversial among artists, sparking protests and culture wars on social media. One notable absence from the list of companies listed in the complaint is OpenAI, Creative DALL-E image synthesis model that arguably got the ball going, blah, 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 blah. Despite the controversy over Stable Diffusion, the legality of how AI art image generators work has not been tested in court. Although the Joseph Saveri law firm is no stranger to legal action against generative AI, in November of 2022, the same firm filed suit against GitHub over its Copilot AI programming tool for alleged copyright violations. So none of this stuff has actually finished a court case yet, so we don't know. But, you know, the article goes on, but, yeah, I mean, it's all speculative. We don't know how this is really going to play out, because this stuff is not, it's not like it's just Xeroxing an existing artwork, right? You know,
well, then there's this is happening now, Morps.
What's that?
Look at this. This is a sculpture machine. It's not printing something. It's sculpting down marble.
That's got sound. All right.
No, just have a look. So I'd say that's taking the European style of sculpturing, which is a classically taught form.
Is that actually carving marble?
Yeah.
Fancy. I thought that was a big block of foam at first.
Nope, marble.
One of the things we have for Dojo here, which we'll get to in a minute, is in this huge list of things that you can find on here, one of them's Suave and I were talking about it earlier. They've got one that uses AI to generate a 3D model, right? So if you use AI to generate a 3D model and then send it to a 3D printer or that sculpting machine you just sent me, which looked like a rotary tool attached to a three-axis robot arm. Yeah.
Well, then you got the AI on the weekend that rewrote the first paragraph of Tolkien, but from a Hunter S. Thompson voice, style. You know, it was brilliant.
Can't stop here. This is Hobbit country. But
if I can find it, I'll send it to you.
That's awesome. But I mean, I honestly don't know, because you've got these algorithms generating this stuff. Generally, it's been when you use the computer to generate something, you're credited as the, you know, if I'm using a Wacom and you know, art software to draw something, GIMP or Krita or something to draw something. Well, the computer's not the artist. I am. But if I'm using tools that let me get better lines, better shapes, I mean, these AI art generators are kind of taking it to the next level where, you know, you're using the computer to generate something, but at that point, are you still really the artist? I mean, if all you did was come up with a text prompt to get something unique, I don't know. I mean, on one hand, it's kind of like rolling the dice to get random numbers, but nobody considers numbers to be art. Even a large sequence of numbers is, you know, the whole decode, the DVD decode key was, you know, arguable whether they could protect it or not because it's just a number. So
I sent you the whole AI chat, but I put it in a private window because it's a wall of text. But that's right for the show. But
Lord of the Rings, man, let me tell you. That's awesome.
It's awesome. Trust me.
I honestly don't know what the right answer here is. It'll be interesting to see it tested in court.
I'm already thinking, like I said, you can't argue it on style. You'd have to pull up individual piece and then show where that piece is too much of a copy of your pre-existing piece, the same way they do with music. Very subjective.
Yeah.
And having played with some of these AI image generators, I have one installed on the box I use to record these shows. That's hard to do, man. I don't know.
Like, anyone remember the Verve Bittersweet Symphony?
Yeah.
Song from when I was in high school?
Vaguely.
Queen won the lawsuit against them. They're saying it's too much like Under Pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, it was too.
And it's going to be a similar thing with these AI-generated drawings. How much of it is going for the style and how much of it is a rip-off of a specific piece of art? Because you can go with a Dadaist style, but you can't copy a specific Dadaist painting and claim it as yours.
Yeah, well, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what happens with these cases, because I honestly don't know where it's going to land. Because on one hand, a lot of these generated art pictures are pretty transformed from any originals they might be pulling from. But could you find an original picture that's close to what they've made? Maybe. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see on the court on that one.
But if this is going with a general all AI art, I can't see where that would work. Like I said, the only thing I could think the court would even have standing is on a specific piece. But this is saying all AI art, isn't it? I mean, they're not even going after a specific piece of art.
It's pretty much saying you train the generator with all our art without permission, and now it's producing art in our style, which is, you know, absurd, you know, usurped our role in the market by copying our thing. But reverse engineering is legal, so, you know, and there's several other examples where somebody else is allowed to, you know, take an idea and build upon it and make a competitor in the market. And
yeah,
you can't lock
it's
them
called
out.
Art school. All of the, many of those artists went through that exact same process.
So,
any classically trained artist, that's how they did it. They learned a style, and then they made the style their own.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know on that one. Like I said, it'll be interesting to see where the court ends up landing on it, because I can see good arguments both ways. I lean towards the you're not going to be able to say that the AI art is copyright infringement. You might be able to claim training it with your art was, but you're going to have a hard time arguing that the output is copyright infringement. You know what I mean? But that's because that's not the infringing part. The using your art to train an AI generator, you could claim is a use that you didn't intend when you put it out there on the internet under whatever license. But like Madman was saying, then you end up back on the individual licenses of a piece and whether they were allowed to do that or not. So,
yeah, wait for the court case.
Yeah, I don't know on that. Let's do this and then we'll wrap. Hadouken! All right, so Suave sent me this link basically right before the show, which was great because I couldn't find a good dojo link to open with tonight. And it's called Futurepedia.io, and it's basically a bookmark list of tools that use AI in some form to generate things. So you can search it. It's got 702 AI tools across 48 categories. So if you want something other than ChatGPT to play with for generating code or talking or generating images, this is a big list of different things for automatically generating things with AI, mostly from prompts. So, yeah, definitely something worth digging through if you're into this kind of stuff, or if, you know, you're needing to develop a project and, you know, out of ideas on your own, you can use the AI to supplement, because like we were saying, when we talked about ChatGPT, you know, it's not the AIs that are going to take your job. It's somebody who knows how to use the AIs that's going to take like 10 people's jobs. So that's all I've got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. In the IRC tonight, myself, CyberLard, Psychros, and Sardonyx. Madman, closing thoughts.
Whiskey is good, and I'm thinking of taking a 3-day weekend.
Both of those are excellent ideas. Are you? Closing thoughts.
Fuck it. I'll do a 3-day weekend too. Madman, how's that?
Oh, you're taunting me now with your always having 3-day weekends.
you can have the 3-day weekend, or you can have the forever lasting 3-day weekend with crippling pain. Which one do you want, Madman?
I couldn't go with the everlasting 3-day weekend. I have not developed enough hobbies. Although, if I was forced to take the everlasting 3-day weekend, I would either go insane or start developing more hobbies.
I'll get you into amateur radio here, Madman. I could see you enjoying that.
Went insane.
And there he went. It's like, what happened?
Completely fucking nuts.
What was that popping sound? That was what was made of Madman's sanity.
Oh, no, that would be me outfitting a van and going across country pirate radio.
We'll talk after the stream. I can help you with that.
Yes, I just want to get in on this.
It's both van life, Bigfoot hunting, UFO spotting, and playing random music.
But why are you wearing a fishing vest? That's the thing I don't understand is where did the fishing vest come from?
Dude, do you know how many granola bars and shotgun shells you can fit in a fishing vest?
Well, not off the top of my head.
Depends on the gauge, and 35 granola bars, and I fit 64 rounds.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Down, just go nose down and call tonight.
Shut up, Wesley.